All right, so today we are going to be coming from the book of Exodus. Today is February 1st. It is also the first day of Black History Month. Amen. Somebody clap for that. Amen. And this is not just important to us as African Americans, not even just important to us as Americans, but this is important to us as Christians. That God has done so much, as some of us have seen through the announcements today, through our African American people, of which I am proud to say I am a part of. The book of Exodus. Once you're at Exodus, you're at the first chapter, you're right where you need to be. Jump to the 8th verse. Somebody said I might have trouble finding Exodus. That's okay. If you have a physical Bible, you turn to the table of contents. And if you turn to the table of contents, you will see the Old Testament and the New Testament. You're going to go with the Old Testament. Then you'll see Genesis. And then you'll see Exodus. Turn to that page number, and you are right where you need to be at chapter 1 of Exodus. And then the small numbers are verses. You will turn to verse 8. And again, I know we have, for those of you that may not be familiar with why am I doing this, it's because we live in a day where we have to teach people how to read the Bible. And we don't want them sitting in the sermon, listening, don't know what's going on, because they couldn't find out where it is. Amen? I know you know, but not everybody knows. And so we want all to come to the faith, all to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that means I spend just a couple of seconds before this sermon making sure we're on the same page. It also means that I spend a couple of seconds trying to get myself on the same page. All right. I'll be reading out of the Christian Standard Bible Version, Exodus 1, verses 8 through the first part of verse 11. Okay, we're going to be coming from 8 through 12. All of chapter 1, really, but for right now, we're going to read verses 8 through 11 out of the Christian Standard Bible. The words are on the screen. If you have different versions of the Bible, you will find it in your, you'll find it similar words printed in your text. Book of Exodus, chapter 1, verse 8, starts as follows. It says, a new king who did not know about Joseph came to power in Egypt. He said to his people, look, the Israelite people are more numerous and powerful than we are. Verse 10, come, let's deal shrewdly with them. Otherwise, they will multiply further. And when war breaks out, they will join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. So the Egyptians assigned taskmasters over the Israelites to oppress them with forced labor. I want to come to you from the following subject. Don't get comfortable. Don't get comfortable. There's something that is in common with Somalians, with this woman named Renee Good. And dare I say it, the church. When you string all of those three things together, and I know I'm omitting some, many people think of Minnesota. The state of Minnesota is really going through it. But that's not the only correlation. It's because of the United States Immigration and Customs Enforcement. The shortened acronym is ICE. In Minnesota has also been connected with all three of these topics. And I understand that ICE is a very political topic. And what I want to do today is not to address immigration. I don't want to address ICE. I'm going to save that for a completely different sermon. But what I want to talk about is how quickly things can change in this nation. Because at this time last year, unless you were a Vikings or a Timberwolves fan, you were not talking about Minnesota. But here we are, and they are top news. Things change quickly. We weren't talking about ICE a couple of years ago. But now the entire landscape has changed. And the question I want to present is, how can things change so quickly? All right. Especially in a democratic republic like the United States of America. Especially with all of our checks and balances that we have in our government. How do things change so quickly? How are our prayer requests changing so quickly? And this is going to matter even more in a couple of seconds. We have an example of things changing quickly in the book of Exodus. Joseph, who was the son of Jacob, who is the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph had passed away. He was second in command in Egypt. And those of us might remember, he helped save Egypt and the surrounding regions from starvation. He was given a dream of the king was given a dream of a famine, and Joseph interpreted it, and God put him in power to make sure that people were fed. And in doing so, there were some things that happened, but eventually his family moved to Egypt, and they grew in Egypt. In fact, they had gotten very numerous to the size of a nation. It went from a family of folks to a nation of folks in Egypt. Everything seemed to be working out well. The Egyptians living in the same country, everything's fine and dandy. Because we remember how that Hebrew, Joseph, helped save Egypt and made Egypt a center for the surrounding nations. In fact, some scholars even say that Joseph's act of creating this central distribution, this central food distribution, was instrumental in actually forming a real nation of Egypt. Because it was different tribes, and what he did was consolidate the power, and therefore all of Egypt started to come together. Yes, the Egypt, yes. Everything seems to be fine and dandy, but a lot can change in one verse. How do you know that? If you go to Exodus 1:8, it says what? A new king. We know that they were pharaohs in that day. A new king who what? Did not know about Joseph. Came to power in Egypt. Now my question is, how in the world did he not know? You know, when you are, when you're in government, one of the things you're supposed to be qualified for, one of the things you're supposed to know is history. Now, until I, you know, started becoming and getting in ministry, you know, I used to hate history. I used to hate that class. But obviously, you know, studying this word has renewed my interest in it. Well, not even renewed, just created my interest in it. But politicians, we expect politicians to know what has happened in our country. We expect politicians to know the history of how we got here, because if you don't know where you came from, you won't know where you're going. We expect that. But here is a Pharaoh. Here is a new king who did not know about Joseph. So what that tells to me is that he willfully chose not to learn. And it's not just because Joseph was a Hebrew and this king was an Egyptian and you know, we just not going to worry about. Joseph was Egyptian history. They talked about him. He was a big deal in Egyptian history. And I say this because every February, we seem to have to remind folks that Black history is American history. It happened in America. We were instrumental in America to move America along. And sometimes it seems like Black history is being relegated to a subject on the side. Something that people with my skin color tend to care about, but if you don't have my skin color, it's not that big of a deal. And they were making that mistake that just because Joseph was of a different heritage, maybe what he did for the country didn't matter. But I tell you, just as they need to know then, we need to know now. We must know our history. Because bad things happen when we don't know our history. Bad things happen, let me talk to you, St. John, when we don't have Black History Month and when we don't talk about what our people have done for God. Bad things happen when Black history is just something that Black people care about. And then select Black people at that. We must know our history. Why? Because of verse 9. This king said to his people, he said, look, the Israelite people are more numerous and powerful than we are. Oh boy. Come, let's deal shrewdly with them. Otherwise, they will multiply further. And when war breaks out, this is what they're scared of. Listen. And when war breaks out, it's not the war, but watch. When war breaks out, they will what? Join our enemies, fight against us, and what? Leave the country. That's what they were scared of. So this whole motive for enslaving the Israelites, the whole reason why slavery existed in that time was for money. Does that sound familiar? those who do not study history are doomed to repeat it. They wanted to make sure that they had their finances in order, and the Hebrews made sure that that money was coming in. You know, when it comes to the government, if you follow the dollar, everything makes sense. Why are we mentioning this? Why are we mentioning this? The Egyptians, verse 11, assigned taskmasters over the Israelites to oppress them with forced labor. They built Pithom and Ramses as supply cities. And so how do we know, or how can things change so quickly? Again, when you don't study your history, when you don't know what happened or don't care what happened leading up to it, how things can change quickly is through one uninformed decision. All it took was for that king to get up, as ignorant as he was, and count all the immigrants in the land and say, they're a problem. That's it. And everything turned. One person could make that decision and enforce a wave of slavery and oppression because they did not study their history. Now, we know that God still works, because in verse 12 it says, but the more they oppressed them, the more they multiplied and spread, so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. Everything was cool before the new king came. And in just a couple of verses, the stance changed. And then the Hebrews growing was a problem. The Hebrews getting more money was a problem. And in just a couple of verses, the media is very powerful, y'all. But thank God that that Pharaoh's plan did not work. Because the very thing that they were afraid of leaving the country, and the very thing that they enslaved them and oppressed them and made sure they set up systemic structures for, the very thing that they were afraid of, God did. God delivered the Israelites using Moses, an unlikely leader, but nonetheless a eventually willing leader. And as African Americans, and again, I understand not everybody here or listening online is African American, but please understand, this is for you too. God has delivered us too. That's the real history. God has brought us out. God has brought us a mighty long way. God has delivered us. And this is why our hope is in Jesus Christ. It's because we know what he has done for our people. We've seen the power. We've seen his grace. We've seen his authority at work. Not only just on a grand scale, but in our lives as well. We've seen how God moves. We've seen how Jesus does. We've seen it. And so when we talk about Jesus coming through 42 generations, when we talk about him being born of the Virgin Mary, when we talk about him dying on the cross for our sins, and then we talk about him being buried, and we talk about him being raised from the grave on the third day, we know what we're talking about, because we have experienced his deliverance. Our hope must be in Christ. He is
our Savior, not the government. This is the part where I'm going to lose people, Rivenbergs. And I say this because most black people, at least that I know, are U.S. citizens. Most of us that I know. Most of us are U.S. citizens. Most of us, yes, we're praying for those who are dealing with ICE and illegal immigration and all of the, yes, we're talking about, yes, we're looking upon it. But sometimes, you know, sometimes we start to feel a little comfortable because we get to pray for them, right? You know, we got our papers. You know, we didn't even want to be here. We here. We've been here for generations. We're good. You know, government, if they talk about it, they're going to kick black folks out the country, we're going to say, to where? Tell us where we came from. Right? We good. Everything logically makes sense. And so, yes, we pray for our Latino brothers. We pray for our Asian brothers. We pray for our Indian brothers and Somali. We pray for these people who are experiencing the effects of ICE being what I feel like is misused at times. But never forget that America has turned on its own before. See, unfortunately, there is this sentiment among African Americans, not everybody, but just some, at least some of the people I know. And we feel like we're comfortable. We're safe. Yeah. No, I'm not downgrading the police brutality. No, I'm not downgrading the racism. No. All of that happens, but we ain't never thought about getting deported. That's not a worry of ours. But America has turned on its own before. For those of us who have studied history, we know that Chinese folks know. Yeah, y'all remember the railroads? And then after they got done with the railroads, the U.S. is like, yeah. Mexicans know. They know what it's like to be good with the government. And then all of a sudden, things change. And no, I'm not talking about the recent years. I'm talking about before that. You know, Mexico, you know, owned a whole lot of the U.S., owned a lot of the U.S., but they don't teach us in school anymore. Have you ever talked to some Japanese people? Everything's good until Pearl Harbor. St. John, can I talk to you for a minute? How did we get our first church building? Hello? Some of us don't know. The first church building that St. John was in was owned by a Japanese congregation. And they had to go to the concentration camps. So that building was vacant. And we, St. John Baptist Church of Los Angeles, moved in the building for just a little while. That's in our history archives. That happened. Okay, somebody said we need some more recent examples. Y'all know any Arabs? Y'all remember what happened on 9/11? I remember that Tuesday when it happened. I got to school and they had all these kids that were not Arab cussing up a storm about how these Arabs are destroying this country in a single day. Cussing them out. beating them up. In one day. And they weren't even Afghan. Because you know there's Arabs are just more than one place, right? Let me keep moving. Immigrants in general have experienced America turning on its own before. And we're seeing it now that people who have been, who thought they were comfortable, who thought they were set, who thought they were building a life here, all of a sudden it's an issue. And you could say, well, you know, illegal, if you're here illegally, you got to get out. I understand that. But there's even reports of considerations of those who were naturalized citizens that their rights might be getting a little, things are in question now. They went through the process. They have the green cards and the visas and they have all that. And now the government is reviewing some things. But they were good. They're not criminals, they're not doing it. They were good. Why did things change so quickly? And I say because of uninformed decisions. So black folks, you think we're good. But all it takes is one uninformed decision. And everything changes for us. And if you're listening and you say, well, I'm safe because I'm not an immigrant. Or let me say it like this. I'm not a minority. I am a good old U.S. citizen. And I'm doubly good with that because I love the Lord. I don't know if you all are seeing this, but this is, and Lord, I asked the Lord for permission for this one, to share this. This is me talking. I see the stage being set for Christian persecution. It's pieces are being put in place. Y'all realize people are starting to hate us, right? I mean, like, no, really hate us. Like, what we preach and what we talk about is, according to them, the reason. Not just one of the reasons, not just helping. What we're doing, what we're talking about here is, according to these critics, the reason why we have all these problems. The reason why us as black folks even endured the mess we endured. They don't want to talk about how our ancestors had this faith and this is what got them through. We don't forget about that history. This is the reason. This is the reason why that side of the aisle is so motivated to persecute those who are on this side of the aisle. I see the stage being set that those of us who feel like we're most comfortable in this land, all it takes is a couple of verses. All it takes is an uninformed decision. And so I close by saying this. Just remember, if you know your history, you'll know who to trust. And I am sorry if this feels like a political statement, but you can't trust the government for nothing. You can't.
things change way too fast. Democrat or Republican, you cannot put all of your hope in your favorite politician. You cannot do that. Because people will swear up and down that they will take care of your community, and the day they get into office, it's not everybody, but it's a lot of them. There are some good people in government, and there might be people here who might be in government one day. And God bless you, that is where big changes happen. Please go forward. Please push. However, I am not going to put all of my hope, all of my trust in the government. But what I will do is put it in the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. He has never left me nor forsaken me. He has said he would be with me always until the end of the world. That includes the end of whatever government you like and don't like. Jesus Christ will be with us, and we can depend on him. We can trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not lean on our own understanding or the government's understanding. But in all of our ways, we would acknowledge who? Him. I'm pointing up if you don't see it. Him. And he, not the government, he, not your favorite politicians, he will direct our paths. So do not, people are stressing out, and I need to end this. People are stressing out, and I'm talking about Christians, stressing out because when it comes down to it, we put a whole lot more hope in the government than we thought. We thought that when we have a president, you have the presidential, the executive branch, then you have the judicial branch, you know, you have these branches. There's checks and balances. There's no way that one person can run it all. There's no way. Again, Republican or Democrat, there's no way. But when you look through history and when you see how the president, not just talking about this president, but presidents before too, how you can see how presidents have influenced things, you start to realize that you really can't just depend on what you think you know. It all comes down to trusting in God. And black folks, if we remember anything through Black History Month, it is that the Lord brought us through. The marches are good. The sit-ins are good. The leaders are good. The organizations are good. God used them to do what he did, but it was God that did it. So our trust is not in the government. Our trust is not even in the organizations and the movements. Our trust is in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if we don't remember any part of that, then we don't really remember Black history. Because I cannot see Black history without seeing who to trust. And that is Jesus Christ.